Hello. I hope you're all well. I hope you came to hear the word and not just to get the cake. But either way, I'm thrilled that you're with us. If you are visiting, a special welcome to you. My name's Luke, and as Denzel rightly said, it's my joy to open up God's word to you tonight. I wrote actually the blog on Acts chapter 1 a few weeks ago. I submitted it. I focused on verses 9, 10, and 11 because they were the things that stood out to me. And about 4 or 5 days after I submitted it, I was told I'm actually preaching on Ascension Day. So I quickly wrote to Helen. I said, don't put it online. I'll send you another one on Acts chapter 1. Give me that one back. I'm going to preach it tonight. So you're getting like blessing upon blessing because you've got another Acts chapter 1 on the blog, and now you're getting Acts chapter 1 this evening for the Ascension. Please do open your Bibles, open your tablets, turn on your phones. Make sure you've got Acts chapter 1 in front of you. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to look at the passage. Father, we do thank you that tonight, as all night, Lord, we can think about the risen, victorious King. We can think about our Jesus, who rules and reigns over all the universe. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as we do that, that Lord, familiarity won't creep in. We pray, Lord, that as we come to think about the Ascension tonight, we'd come at it fresh. And we pray, Lord, that you would do a fresh work in us. And so be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how Ascension Day feels on your calendar. It used to have its own day. It used to be a public holiday. But now it's just an ordinary day on your calendar. My guess is many of you have probably come in on your way home from work. It's one of the reasons why we have the service at 6 o'clock. It feels in one sense, don't you think, that Ascension Day, oh shame, it's the forgotten cousin. You know, we've got Christmas Day. You know, the whole world shuts down for Christmas Day almost. We've got Good Friday. We have Easter Sunday. And then we've got Ascension Day. The poor cousin. I think he must feel very sad some days. I think he must feel in a very low position. Well, we've been doing Romans, haven't we? And in Romans chapter 12 that we looked at this week, we were told to associate with those of low position. That's completely out of context, but that's okay. Tonight, we're going to think through the Ascension Day. Because here's my thing. My thing is we shouldn't think of it in a negative way, and it shouldn't be forgotten. In fact, I shared with our Bible study last night, I think we've left it too late, actually, to think about it. I think we should have done something much bigger and really got a focus. Because I think when you get your head around the Ascension, you'll discover that actually it's glorious. It is a wonderful, wonderful event in the life of the church. And so tonight, looking at that passage from Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 is what I want to focus on. I want us to think of the Ascension in three terms. I want us to think of it firstly in terms of a coronation. In terms of a coronation. See, I think the Ascension serves as Jesus' coronation after completing his work on earth. Just think about it. You don't have to be a royalist tonight. You don't have to be excited about the wedding later in the month. You don't have to be into monarchy. But just think about it for a minute. Just think about what happens and leads up to a coronation. Invariably, there's a death. It's usually the death of the preceding monarch. At that moment, somebody will say, well, therefore, Fred Buchenpool is now king. Long live the king. You see, with the death of one, another is raised up. Another is declared to be king. And then at some point shortly thereafter, there will be a ceremony, a special ceremony. You'll put your best bib and tucker on. You'll go and you'll watch as the new king is crowned accordingly. Now, I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. I want you to think that on Good Friday, there was the death of a king. Remember the inscription? Placed above his head, as Jesus breathed his last, he was called King of the Jews. That was the inscription. On that first Good Friday, there was a death of a king. Of course, we see it slightly differently, don't we? We see it as the death of a king who was doing a kingly work. He was dying as a sacrifice of atonement to secure the forgiveness of his people. He was giving up his life as a ransom for his family, for his community. There was a death. I think just 3 days later, Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, there was a king raised up. In fact, if you remember Romans, do you remember Romans? Don't you hate it when the preacher says, do you remember? No. Romans chapter 1. If you cast your mind back to Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says this. We're told that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Can I suggest to you that the word Son of God there is not actually a reference to his eternal sonship. Now, it's a picture of Psalm 2. It's a picture reminding us that Jesus is the descendant of David, who will be the forever king of the universe. It's the resurrection of Jesus that declares, out of all the many descendants of David's, it is him and him alone who will not stay dead, but be raised as the forever king of God's kingdom. There was a death, and a king was raised to life. If you're familiar with Daniel, you'll remember that in Daniel chapter 7, we're told that at some point in the future, this is from Daniel's perspective, one like the Son of Man will come riding on the clouds. We're told that he will approach the Ancient of Days and be led into his presence. And we're told that at that point, as he's ridden the clouds, at that point, Daniel chapter 7 verse 14 says, he will be given authority, glory, and sovereign power. At that point, he will be given a dominion that is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom will be one that will never be destroyed. I'm of the opinion the ascension is that event. It's the ascension where the king who died, the king who was raised to life, the king is led into the presence of the Ancient of Days, and he is declared and crowned on his coronation to be king. See, sometimes we want to know, how do we know that Jesus is Lord? How do you know? Because he's sitting on the throne in the presence of the Ancient of Days. Because the king rules not from this earth. He rules from heaven. He rules from the right hand of the Father. You see, it's the ascension in which Jesus goes and is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's having been crowned that he sits down and he rules the world. Can I suggest to you, therefore, friends, that today is a great day for Christians? See, because sometimes as you and I live in this world, it's tough. Have you noticed that? No? Just me? Some days you go through difficulties. Some days you go through hardships. And some days you find yourself asking, is God really in control? See, today reminds you, the king is the king. And he is sitting on his throne. His coronation has taken place. And he rules and he reigns. You see, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know the pressures you're facing. I don't know the hardships you're fearing. But here's what I do know. I do know that because of the first ascension day, my king, my Jesus, is on his throne. And I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. He's on his throne. He's on his throne. See, the ascension is the great comfort to me. And of course, when I realize that, here's what I must do. I must bow down in worship to him, mustn't I? If my king is the king, if he is the Lord, if he is ruling and reigning over the world, then friend, what you and I have to do is we have to bow in worship. We have to say, hallelujah. I know you're Anglicans, but I want to suggest to you, we should be saying, hooray! This is great news to us. Jesus is the king on the throne. Can I ask you if you've bowed the knee to him? I mean, as you sit here today, as you're facing life, are you doing it in light of the knowledge, in light of the certainty that Jesus is king, that he is on the throne, Have you bowed to him? Have you submitted to him? Is that your comfort as you face tomorrow? Think of the ascension as a coronation. But think of the ascension as well as a commissioning. A commissioning. If you know me, you'll know I've actually got quite a weird sense of humor. I love satire. I love sarcasm. I just do. I love it. And I love the funny side of Acts chapter 1. See, here's the funny side. The disciples, well, they've gathered to Jesus, the Lord. They're watching him ascend. They're mesmerized in the moment. They're looking up. They're watching. You think it's quite a deep moment, don't you? You would think it's quite a moving, touching occasion. And these two guys appear. Two men dressed in white. I think that's Luke's way of wanting us to know they're actually messengers from God. Okay, that's his code to say, look, they're sent from God here. And they ask the most beautiful question. They turn around to the disciples, and these two blokes look at them and they say, hey, what are you actually doing looking up into the sky for? Why are you doing that? And here's their point. Their point is, why on earth are you looking up when just a few verses ago, that same king on the throne gave you a job to do? He gave you a job to do just a few verses ago. Do you remember, as Susan was reading for us? He says, have you forgotten already? The job this king gave you was to go and be my witnesses. To be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And just think, this band of 11 men at that stage, this band of 11 men have the greatest truth in the world at their fingertips. Because they get that Jesus is king. They know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Jesus has said to them, look, don't keep that a secret. The message that the world needs to hear, the message that the broken world needs to hear, the message that the world in chaos and anarchy needs to hear is that there is a king on the throne. Go and proclaim him. It is the great life-changing truth for all people. Oh, of course, some of them don't know that that's what they need to hear, but that is the truth. That is the message for them. And this group of men, these followers of Jesus, these disciples, well, they are to testify to that. They are to be his witnesses. They are to proclaim his lordship wherever they are, wherever they go, and indeed, they'd actually better go far. They'd better go far. Oh, yes, they must do it here in Jerusalem. They must do it over there in Judea and Samaria, and indeed, they must do it everywhere to the ends of the earth. They are told whether they are close at home, or whether they are in the community, or whether they're traveling through the country, or whether they are going to the ends of the earth. Here's the thing. They are to witness that Jesus is king. They are to proclaim to the world that he is Lord. It's worth noting that at the time, to proclaim another king was considered an act of terrorism. Remember, this is a Roman Empire. To proclaim another king is to go against Rome. So don't tell me it was easy for them back then. No, it wasn't. It was very difficult for them back then. And yet that is what they were called to. And so there's two blokes. I love it. The two blokes, with subtlety and with lots of satire, says, so why are you checking out the sky? Shouldn't you be doing something else? Isn't there something you should rather be doing right now? See, this is the season, friends, for witness. This is the season for proclamation. This is the season where together we don't just serve to know Christ, but to make Christ known. And we do that for the glory of God. We do that so that people will hear that Jesus is Lord and turn to him and discover that when they turn to this king, what they find is they find salvation. They find refuge. They find security. You see, the call of the ascension is obedience. Stop looking into the sky and get on with it. Have you heard that phrase? People say it in a negative way often, don't they? They say, you know that Denzel. You know that Denzel? That Denzel, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Can I tell you? Acts chapter 1 tells us that's wrong. It's actually when we are heavenly minded, that we will be earthly good. Because when we are clear that the King is on the throne, we will do for the world what the world needs more than anything else. They need to know there is salvation. And so here's the challenge of the ascension. Are you a witness, dear friend? Are you a witness? Are you proclaiming the truth? Are you telling the world that Jesus is Lord? It's probably worth saying tonight, isn't it, that we can't tell the world Jesus is Lord until we have first submitted to his lordship ourselves. It's no good telling them to submit if we haven't submitted. It's no good telling them to follow if we haven't followed. And so I do think our lives need to support what we're proclaiming. But I think the challenge of the ascension is a great call to you and me to mission. I was so grateful for Denzel's prayer. See, it was a prayer that was heavenly minded, wasn't it? See, when you're heavenly minded, what do? You pray for witness. You pray for mission. You pray that Jesus will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. I wonder if you're doing that. I wonder if you're finding opportunity where you are. Maybe the other mum at school. Maybe the bloke in the office. Is there somebody that you're thinking through? How can I build relationship with them to tell them that Jesus is Lord? Maybe you've gotten complacent. Maybe you've kind of cooled down a little bit. Well, will you let the ascension refire you? Will you let the ascension speak to you afresh and challenge you to say, well, let me go and witness. And let me witness to the great news that Jesus is King. It's a coronation. It's a commissioning. But I also think we must think of it in terms of a commitment. It's a commitment. See, the men actually said two things. They said, you don't need a watch, you can get on with your work. And you can get on with your work in the assurance that this Jesus you've seen leave, he'll come back the same way. See, the ascension is a pledge that Jesus will return. This Jesus who has been taken from you will come back in the same way. That must have been a great assurance to the disciples. I mean, I'm teasing them, I'm giving them a bit of a hard time, but I guess in one sense it must have been quite hard. They've gone through an emotional roller coaster the last few weeks. They thought he was the King, and then he died on the cross. Then he was raised to life, and they thought they were going to gain all political power, and then he leaves. It's a roller coaster, isn't it? It's an emotional up and down, and in one sense, I want to be sensitive to that. And so there's wonderful assurance that we've not lost him. We've not lost him. He's not gone, never to return. No, he's coming back. And we're told he's coming back in the same way. I take it that'll be in a miraculous way. I take it that'll be in a glorious way. We're told in the rest of scriptures that he will return with the triumph of the trumpets. We're told that he will return in the power and glory accompanied by the angelic host. We're told that he will return riding in the clouds in victory. Friends, that's what we're waiting for. And so when we think of the ascension today, what we're doing is we are remembering that Jesus is coming back. Indeed, in the scriptures, that is the coming we're actually waiting for. We're waiting for the coming of him to return as the victorious, glorified King, to return as the King who will fetch his people and assert his kingly authority over all the world. We're told that he will do that once he's brought all his enemies under his foothold. Friends, that's his pledge. And because it's his pledge, it is our hope. It's our hope. See, sometimes we get caught up in the moment, don't we? Sometimes we think about what we're going through today, right now. Can I say to you, the ascension reminds us there's another chapter. There's another chapter. This story is not over yet. We may not always remember that. We may not always think of that. We may not always feel of that. But the ascension is the great promise. There's still another chapter to be written. A chapter when every knee, every tongue will be involved. When every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess, He is the Lord. It assures us the ascension of Christ's commitment to return. And so it's a call to you and me to remain faithful, to commitment, to stand in the hope that is ours, to persevere until He returns. Of course, we must remember that when He returns, He will return as the judge. He will return as the judge. See, that is how He will bring the nations under Him. Because He will show Himself not just to be the saving King, but to be the judging King. And so, friends, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. I spoke to one of the Bible studies today, and I said to them, folks, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready today. Today. In the Psalm 2, which describes the Son as the King who will be appointed, the King who is crowned, the King who will come, the King who will judge. The Psalm finishes by saying, take refuge in Him. Dear friends, that's our hope. Our hope is that He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our fortress. You see, friends, the ascension is not the forgotten cousin. It's not the forgotten cousin. It is a coronation calling us to worship. It is a commissioning calling us to witness. It is a commitment calling us to wait. Let's pray. Father, we do pray tonight that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, by faith, give us eyes to see the risen, ascended, victorious King ruling and reigning on the throne. Father, by faith, give us ears to hear His great commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And Lord, give us faith. Faith that will wait patiently. Faith that will persevere while we wait. Faith that trusts that as He went, so one day He will return. Lord, tonight we pray that we would remember the ascension. And we pray, Lord, that we would be different because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.